From the team at CTS, this is the Time Crunch Cyclist Podcast, our show dedicated to answering your training questions and providing actionable advice to help you improve your performance, even if you're strapped for time. I'm your host, Coach Adam Pulford, and I'm one of the over 50 professional coaches who make up the team at CTS. In each episode, I draw on our team's collective knowledge, other coaches, and experts in the field to provide you with the practical ways to get the most out of your training and ultimately become the best cyclist that you can be. Now, on to our show. Welcome back, Time Crunch fans. Today is another Q&A episode where I answer questions directly from you, our audience. So the questions keep pouring in, which is really awesome. I'm getting local questions. It's like questions texted over to me from people I'm riding with in conjunction with a bunch of them streaming in to our marketing director, Corey, which gets forwarded directly to me. So if you're listening to this podcast and you do have any burning questions, please submit them. Head over to trainwright.com/podcast. Click on the button that says ask a training question. Submit your question and I'll answer them all right here on the show. So let's get into it. All right. The first question is, can you address the use of metrics, including FTP, heart rate, power output, watts per kilogram, workout intensity, frequency, etc., into the very senior retired, greater than 65-year old cyclist? And that's coming from Bill. Yeah, great question, Bill. And I get that a lot. I get that from my own athletes as well as other general questions out there. So the short answer is no need to change the percentage of training zones if you're using a 5-zone system. Okay. Generally, if you are changing the percentage of zones, it's related to athlete phenotype, not age alone. Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit more and describe why there's no need to change the percentage of training zones and what athlete phenotype is and all that kind of stuff. So a reminder, when I'm working with an athlete, I work at the individual level with all of my athletes. So everything is custom to them specifically. And I find that for most athletes that I'm coaching anyway, that are 60 years or older, they still fall within that normal percentage of FTP for all that for the 5-zone system. And that 5-zone system that I'm talking about, that's a CTS methodology, Training Peaks methodology, and many other coaching groups that are using something like that, where kind of for a grounding purpose, we're using functional threshold power, which is a power that you can maintain in a somewhat steady manner for 30 to 60 minutes. And if we have a zone 4 training zone going on, it's 95 to 105% of FTP. So that's just give you a quick grounding of those percentages. So if you're using that system, no need to change it. Okay. But what I do change for an aging athlete is the recovery periods in between hard intervals and also the recovery duration between sessions. So what do I mean by that? And what's a good example? Okay. So if I'm doing 10 minute FTP intervals, okay, let's just say 3x10 or 4x10 for somebody who is the age of 30 to 50, I generally give them 4 to 5 minutes of recovery in between. If I'm working with somebody that is 60 or older, I might just start with 6 or 7 minutes and then I might even try to minimize that, but I will give them more recovery time in between, but I won't change the intensity. Okay. And that's for a number of different reasons. One, just in my experience, I get better power out of those athletes that are older. And I get better responses by going harder. Okay. So I'd rather have the quality and give them a little bit more time to recover rather than go, say, lower, for example. Because when I get this question, oftentimes people are looking for the answer of, oh, if I'm older, do I just not go as hard? No. In fact, there's a lot of stuff, including some of the latest Joe Friel blog posts and some of his writings. It's like, keep the intensity. I'll get into some Joe Friel stuff here in a minute. but keep the intensity hard. Keep your hard days hard. Easy days easy, just like we've been saying on all these other podcasts. Just give yourself more recovery time. Okay. Now, also, if throughout the week, I'll give more recovery time between those sessions. So if that's the hard day, if that's the hard workout, and it's on Tuesday, for example, I won't go hard again until maybe Saturday. Okay. So I'm going to give them at least one day, usually 1 to 3 days, of either rest or zone two in between before I go hard again. Okay. So for an aging athlete, I'm going to avoid back to back or block style, sort of training and probably not have the training density go on like I would in somebody who's a bit younger. Okay. So that's definitely something that I do change. You know, the other thing that I change in the way of percentages of FTP, it pertains more to, anaerobic intervals than any other stuff in that zone five. So what I mean by that is on the show, I've talked about FRC, functional reserve capacity, and also Pmax or power at maximum. So these are very, very short intervals, usually 30 seconds and shorter. Pmax is like 5 seconds or less. Okay. So these are super short. I'm not doing a ton of this work with an aging athlete population, but I will go there. And all that stuff is specific to the athlete, but I do that with any of my athletes. So anything from the current, you know, elite national champion to the, 50 plus masters racer to the, you know, the triathlete, whatever, like, because of the way people produce their power or what we call the athlete phenotype, all that is very individualized. Because if I have somebody who they could have the same FTP, but their 30 second power could be 50% lower than the other person. Okay. Tim Cusick talks a lot about this. Him and I have talked about this numerous times on the podcast. Look for Tim and individualized training approach, and you can understand a little bit more what that means. But again, the more anaerobic something is, the more individualized it will become, and a set percentage one size fits all should not be deployed for anybody, whether you are old or young. So now, you know, a quick nod to stuff does change as you get older. Okay. There's decline over time, and that's to be expected. It's, you know, very well proven that sprint power declines, VO2 max will actually decline as well. And all due to decreased testosterone, decreased muscle mass, decreased neuromuscular system degradation. So all in the aging athlete. So not to say that things are not changing, but I think it's important to recognize that, relatively speaking, things will stay the same in human physiology. Okay. For example, if you were always a good hill climber and you've stayed active, you kept on riding, kept on training, you'll always be a good hill climber, which means you'll probably have like really good FTP power. But the power output that you can do for FTP, that will come down over time. Relatively speaking, it will probably decay at the same kind of rate over time. So relatively, things will stay the same, but absolutes will change. And that's kind of the key principle here with how to change with an aging athlete. But it all comes down to using this individualized approach of training and staying grounded in the science of what we know to work for human physiology. So let's not get away from science on that one. Okay, let's look at a couple examples of this, of how we could deploy this into a training week. So my first example, I think I used Monday as a hard day. So let's just say that. Let's assume Monday and Thursday are hard intervals. Let's call it hard threshold intervals. Now, if Monday and Thursday are hard, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday could all be zone two or zone one recovery. I'd tuck in a rest day, and I'd probably just put a rest day on Sunday. Nothing wrong with a rest day on Sunday, folks. It's the great reset button if anyone's looking for a quick recovery hack. So again, Monday, Thursday hard, Tuesday, Wednesday, zone one or zone two. Maybe you go longer on Saturday for a zone two long ride, and then Sunday completely off. Another way we could shape this up is Wednesday, we have hard intervals, and Saturday, we have a hard group ride. What that could look like then is Monday as a typical off day. Tuesday could be your zone two, just getting ready for the hard interval work set on Wednesday. Thursday could be zone one recovery. Friday is kind of a shakeout ride. Saturday is that hard group ride. And again, Sunday, just a zone two ride before we take another rest day on Monday. So again, we're only going hard 2 days a week, but we've got two, sometimes even three easier days in there to pad for enough time for 100% recovery before we hit the hard intensity. Now, I mentioned Joe Friel. Joe Friel, if you've been around this sport, you've heard his name. He's written all the books, and he's the go-to guy on a lot of endurance training in general, but now the aging athlete. So I suggest going over to joefriel.com. I mean, he's got some great stuff there. Like I said, his latest blog post, he's talking a lot about this, and he talks about the 5-2 training program. What he means by that is over the course of a week in 7 days, 5 of them should be easy and 2 of them should be hard. Pretty simple. And that may pull on some strings of the time crunch cyclists, where we're talking about the hard days hard, easy days easy, or polarized training, where there are basically 2 hard sessions within a block of training, okay, 10 days. And what the other thing that kind of should pop up in this 5-2, you say, well, where are the rest days? Well, it's another thing to acknowledge in an aging athlete. And going back to Bill's question here, he said the retired athlete. What I tend to find is once I have an athlete retire, we become much more time rich. Okay. And this is an opportunity, but this could also become a problem because you have more time. You want to do more stuff. Okay. However, what we just talked about in the way of the decline of performance, because your body is changing, you can't do it all. Okay. You can't do all the intensity in particular. However, you can do zone one and zone two, easy, easy stuff. And you can do that 7 days a week, so long as you're sleeping, you have good habits and all this kind of stuff. You know, what I talk about with my athletes is, you're no longer going to the workplace. You're no longer doing all the normal stuff where you get general movement going in when you're retired. So you have to structure that in. So going for walks, going for an easy bike ride, that's what's going to take up some of these, even your off days, if you want to get creative and if you have a desire to move 7 days a week. Don't get me wrong, you can take that extra, take a rest day. Rest days are amazing, and that's where the adaptation happens. That's where magic happens. Okay, can take 2 rest days. All right, but just make sure that there's contrast between the hard days. That's really, really the main thing there. Now, in Joe Friel's blog, and like we've talked about here, intensity is very helpful, but more is not better. Just because we're saying that intensity is helpful, and Joe talks about as well as a lot of research out there on VO2 max studies in aging athletes, it can prevent the decline of VO2 max going down. Or it can reverse the effects if you've been inactive, meaning if you've been active in your 50s and you retire and become more active, we can actually see VO2 start to increase based on where you tested after a sedentary lifestyle. It's important to recognize there. For most of the athletes I'm working with, they've been pretty active their whole life. So a slower decline is typically our approach. And intensity can help slow the decline. Super important to know. But once you start doing probably 3 days of that high intensity and several weeks of that, I start to see problems crop up. So just know that intensity is helpful. More is not better. 2 days per week of targeted high intensity threshold and above, that seems to be most appropriate based on how I structure training in my practice, who I'm talking to, what I'm reading in the research, as well as fellow coaches. All right, let's go on to question number 2. This might be my favorite question just because it's, here's the question. Maybe let's call it the topic. Need a recovery plan. And that comes from Bruce. Yeah, Bruce, I mean, all my athletes, all the athletes out there need a recovery plan. Recovery is a pretty hot topic. And as a short answer, you know, without knowing further details all around that, my best advice is to first start with sleep. Get 8 hours of sleep per night as best you can, or 8 hours of total sleep. So if that means you can only sleep for 6 hours straight, try to get in a nap of an hour or 2 hours throughout the day in a system of 8 hours total. That's going to be super critical. Also, keep the hard days hard, easy days easy, all the stuff we've talked about before. And that's going to be a very good general plan for recovery. A longer answer, well, I'll just say listen to our other podcast, because I talk extensively on all things recovery with Coach Jim Lehman in episode number 131, and also in episode number 3 with Christy Ishwanden. She wrote the book on all things recovery and modalities, methods, and everything that you could want to know as an athlete to help recover to your fullest. So, that's it for today. In the questions, I'd say in summary, you know, when it comes to training zones with metrics and the aging athlete, there's no need to change the actual percentage of training zones if you're basing everything on FTP and in a 5-zone system. In addition to that, if you decide to go really hard in training, meaning anaerobic sort of intervals, yeah, you want to change the percentage, of power that you're aiming for, or just use RPE to get there. Hard is hard, 9 or 10 out of 10. That's how hard we're talking about there with the anaerobic power intervals that we're talking about. The main thing that you want to focus on is increase your recovery interval time when you're doing hard work. So threshold and above, give yourself an extra minute or two, maybe 3 minutes, or just have the athlete self-select how long they need, and encourage more to produce really good high quality power on the interval days. Additionally, slot in an extra day or two in between the harder days in the week. And I think the 5-2 approach that Joe Friel and Jim Rutberg that we talked about on another episode just last week, where we talk about keeping the hard days hard and easy days easy for an aging athlete, that is rock solid advice. Finally, to Bruce's question on recovery, sleep is first and foremost. Check out other episodes, number 131 and number 3, where we cover everything about recovery in there. I've linked to some great articles about the aging athlete, anything from research studies to some blog posts that I mentioned. So check those out on the podcast landing page. And if you have a question, please submit it over and I will do my best to find the answers to it, and we'll talk about it here on the podcast. Thanks again, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Time Crunch Cyclist podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. 3 quick things before you take off. First, head over to trainright.com/podcast and submit your training questions you'd like to hear answered on future episodes. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and share the episode with your friends. This is the best way that you can help support the podcast so we can continue to produce free content to help you improve your performance. Lastly, if you want even more actionable training advice, head over to trainright.com/newsletter and subscribe to our free weekly publication. Each week, you'll get in-depth training content that goes beyond what we cover here on the podcast that'll help you take your training to the next level. That's all for now. Until next time, train hard, train smart, train right.